the Brad Sesnatt Show, broadcasting live.
All right, welcome on in. We have Mark Beasley. The Bees is with us today, one of the best on the Hoop Talk segments that we do. Mark Beasley is in charge of the Visit Mesa basketball tournament, which is next week. For those of you that don't know the basketball scene, or you're just coming into the basketball scene, if you want to see high-end talent and you want to see it national high-end talent, Mark is the person that puts on the Visit Mesa tournament every year. It's on the high school space. If you're one of those that's a hoopaholic like me, you go to the Visit Mesa. I'll be there. I'll sit there in the stands. It's where the collection of, there's some characters, you know, those of us that have been around a while that go to the basketball scene, former players, parents, high-end people. That is Visit Mesa. Mark Beasley will be with us. Jay Perry's going to be with us today. Jay is in charge of the Final Four. Jay has been in charge of Super Bowls and all of that. Today is the anniversary of Dr. Naismith starting the game of basketball today. And I thought, you know, with Jay doing the Final Four and with the basketball season here in town last night, downtown was great. Games were great downtown. I watched after I got back from a charity event. Good stuff. So I'll have Jay Perry with us as well. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. Somebody was asking me the other day, where was I? I was at a speaking event and a guy afterwards comes up and says, so Desert Financial Credit Union, you talk about them. Has it been good for you? Like, guys, I don't sit here and endorse stuff that I don't use. That's not me. Not, I'm just going to take a check. No, that's not what we're about. So Desert Financial Credit Union is our title sponsor. We appreciate their support of what we do here on sports360az.com. It's now that time where many of you are out of your usual viewing habits. Some of you are still at the desk at the office taking this in today as we record it. Today I am not live. I am at the Tim Hovick Invitational at TPC Scottsdale, our partner over at Santan Ford. And Tim, of course, one of the great supporters in all of sports, pro, college, high school here in the state of Arizona. I am playing in an event today that he asked me to be in, and I shall do it. So I will be at that. In terms of the news of the day, I was on a Zoom earlier this morning with Kenny Dillingham. Yesterday was National Letter of Intent Day. It was really interesting to me where Jed Fish has done such a good job of keeping his team intact. There's a culture there for sure. For sure there's a culture that is a positive one at the University of Arizona for football. Kenny talked this morning about how he is wanting to get that right in year number two, that it takes a couple of years to build relationships, and he felt like he made some progress, but really it's about the kids of 2025 and 2026. He's very relational. He's not going to take a kid who calls and says, hey, man, I'm jumping in the portal. Do you want me? And the kid had already visited, a high school kid, and was moving on to other things, and then stuff dried up. Like, no, nor should he. So he spoke about getting bigger and longer on the offensive line. He repeated that. Yes, there's some game breakers. Loves his special teams acquisitions. But, you know, I've never come across a coach that has said the day after the NLI deal is done that said, man, did we get screwed? Oh, we got this guy. He can't play dead. Everybody is, oh, my gosh, it's the most amazing class ever. It's just, we have all these guys. And then you just kind of think, all right. And then you look at the class 4 years later and 5 years later, and usually – I'll just use Arizona State as an example. Usually most of the class washes out and doesn't come through. And we sit here and hear all this stuff and read all this stuff. It's just complete PR rather than, no, let's be patient before we anoint the next one. I know that's really hard to do in this day and age. Nobody likes to be told, well, this guy can't play. So I'm willing to look at the relationships. I'm willing to look at the coaching staff that has been put together in Tempe. I think in state, you know, you have to feel very good about where ASU is heading, in my opinion, the bottoming out's already happened. They're coming back up. And where U of A has just been able to be steady. They've just been steady. And I have to admire that, given that program was the worst in America when Kevin Sumlin left. That's a fact. So there's that going on. I did quite a bit yesterday. I bounced to three high schools. I love going from the pro stuff to the college stuff to the high school stuff and just being around town. And yesterday, being NLI day, I wanted to go over to Hamilton because this is the top program in the state who's currently looking for a head coach. And they had their signing day, and they had three players on stage. Three. One was going to Army. One was going to Western Illinois. One was going to Georgetown. It's great. They're all continuing their career. This isn't a shot at Hamilton. It's just usually it's at a bigger school. But there's just three kids. And I jumped the car and made it over to Basha. Basha had a player going to BYU, player going to Ohio State, player going to the U of A, player going to NAU. Great, four players. Then I jumped the car and I ran over to Castile. Castile had a player going to a small NAIA that I don't remember. Utah State, Fresno State, and Oklahoma. So three programs. I didn't make it over to Perry, and I didn't make it to Chandler. Rick Gerritsen, love him to death, 6:30 a.m., not happening for me. So Spurge went. So I think it's important for those of you that are in this space in high school or wanting to get in this space, or you have family and friends that are in this space, this needs to be emphasized that a high school kid's options are severely limited in this new world that we live in currently. How many of those kids, I think it was 13 that I counted up, that I went and saw yesterday sign, are still going to be with the same school by the time it all comes to an end? The kid from Army will be, for sure. But beyond that, it's almost as though I've had parents or advisors, love the advisors, that doesn't work out with us at the portal. That's happening in high school now, which, okay, point to Dylan Raiola, go to five high schools. What do you get out of it? Well, you get $1.5 million. No, the dad is an alum there and the uncle's on the coaching staff. And today Dylan puts out, he has his own trading card. Of course he does. And, No disrespect to the kid. Like, knock yourself out. I don't know. Play a little bit. The point is of this rant, if you feel as though that you have to just go search for a place where you know you're going to have it all laid up for you. Dylan Raiola went to Ohio or committed to Ohio State, committed to Georgia, committed to Nebraska. You cannot tell me that there wasn't some transactional stuff going on. You know, 2 days after he signs the trading cards out. Okay, this was done weeks ago. Him going to Nebraska was done, in my opinion, about a week and a half ago. And yesterday I was like, oh my gosh, can you believe this? No, this is done. Chubba Purdy going in the portal. Here's Chubba Purdy, top quarterback over at Perry High School. Went to Florida State. Had four surgeries on his shoulder because there was infection. Has that been reported? No, because that's not fun. That's not, it's just, oh, he moved on. Might want to check a little bit deeper on these stories of why people leave. Goes to Nebraska, gets on the field, is injured while trying to play, got a groin thing going on, plays at the end of the season, gets some tape. And a week and a half ago, you know, the Raiola stuff comes to fruition. And in my view, Chubba Purdy went in the portal yesterday and he was absolutely dead flat right to do it. And of course, there's people that don't have a clue, don't want a clue, that won't check into it. They'll just go on social and say, oh, boy, this kid sure moves to a lot of schools. Like, you might want to dig around a little bit and see as to why this is a unique situation. So, yeah, I pay attention to that story. We've done a lot on the Purdy through the years. Their phone rang. Of course it did. He'll land on his feet and he'll be just fine. He has two to play two. He got his degree last Saturday. Don't go in the portal. Don't do anything until you get the degree and enjoy that day. So I think the storylines behind each kid and where they're going, how it's going on the high school space. If you're that daddy baller and you just think that you've got a five-star kid and they're in seventh grade or eighth grade or street agents are telling you that your kid could be this or that, I know we all want to help our kids out, but there's more damage, in my opinion, that's going on than help. There's over 4,000 kids today still in the portal. Today, 4,000. Hey, man, I'm going to hit the portal because everybody's going to want me. How's that working out for you? So, you know, when I talk to people about this, they said you should open a consulting business on the side. I've had a few people have reached out that said you should just do this on top of sports research. No, we kind of do it melded in together. I'm going to meet with a quarterback and just talk to him about where you're at with your social, where are you at with your GPA looks great, where are you at with your core classes. Maybe you might want to get ahead and take a couple things online so that you're able to punch out early if you want to next year and come back and walk. But do you really want to miss prom? Do you really want to miss the high school stuff? Or is the coach pressuring you at the college level to enroll early? If they are, can you come back and do the things you want to do? Can you just be a kid and not be in such a hurry to get to the next level and then wake up one day and like, I missed a bunch of stuff? That is my rant. Grand Canyon won again last night. I watched U of A. U of A looked like they were going to lose at some point, and they lost to Purdue, but that's a good Alabama team they beat last night. That was an entertaining game, high energy, high athleticism, great guard play down the stretch. Ballo played lights out. Ballo looked like a difference maker, in my opinion, on the offensive end, ripping apart boards and doing his thing. You know, Bobby Hurley's got problems. There's no other way to put it. Frankie Collins calls out the team. Bobby calls out himself. 20-point loss to Northwestern. Anybody is going to sit here and say, go Devils, pitchfork up, everything's great. That's not – no, everything's not great right now. They got to get it figured out. And usually in Bobby's case, there's these games in December, and then they start to come up, and they get together right in time for the tournament. Like to see a little bit more consistency. I think everybody would on that one. But, you know, where U of A is right now, they should be at that high level. And then, you know, do they do anything in March or not? GCU, four guards, and the guards again played great. But they got some play out of former Sun Devil Duke Brennan last night. And he was a force inside. And so they just keep going about their business with one loss. They're going to get ranked here. I tell you, when GCU said they want to be the next Gonzaga, they're not there yet, obviously. But they certainly were dead flat right in that approach. It's taken years. They have the arena. They have the atmosphere. They have the environment. They're getting better players. If you haven't gone to watch them and you're a fan of hoop, I'd say you should go take it in because they're big time. They really are in terms of the whole – if you don't take your kid to a GCU game, then I think they're missing out. They would have so much fun. And you'll be like, this is a cool atmosphere. From there, we have Jay Perry. Jay Perry's coming up next. And then Mark Beasley as we do some hoop talk today. Enjoy both guests. That is coming up next. So Goodwill, let's take a minute here to talk about Goodwill this time of year in the holiday season. You've pulled all the boxes out. Here in about a week, you're going to start putting the boxes back. It's going to be a time to, I don't know, clean up a little bit. And you've got all those shoes and bags out in the garage or that athletic equipment because kids have outgrown the shoes. Kids have outgrown playing the sports. They've moved on. We've been that space as empty nesters, right? So I know I'm not alone on this. If you're thinking about gently used sporting good items, Goodwill is the place. We go to Goodwill often. My son just got back from Colorado State, and we were driving to a charity event last night. He had a new shirt, new this, new that. And I said, where'd you go? He said, I went to Goodwill. That's what the kids do. And they see what they like, and it was gently used. He looked great. Stop into a Goodwill near you. That is Goodwill. All right, so last night, great basketball, downtown Phoenix. I am a hoopaholic, as is Jay Perry. Jay, of course, has been in the Valley in a position of influence with sporting teams for a long time. She's the CEO of the Phoenix Local Organizing Committee. With the Final Four coming here, we've been talking Final Four every week. I write about it, I talk about it, put guests on. Today is the anniversary of the game being invented. I wasn't around back then. It was close. But 132 years ago, so the United Nations got involved in this, and I'm like, well, this is pretty cool. So here's Jay for a few minutes to chop it up on all things hoops. How are you?
I am fantastic. And it is super cool to be recognized by the United Nations.
Right? Yeah. I mean, like when they first threw this out, were you kind of tilting your head like, what? Really? United Nations? Don't they have better things to do? Or, you know, is this,
exactly.
this is different?
Well, definitely there was a little bit of this is interesting, but also exciting because it's great to see, right, one of our favorite sports, basketball, recognized and just everything that it does for our community, but also that it is this amazing global sport that, you know, as you said, was invented 132 years ago.
Today,
exactly, World Basketball Day. But it's going strong here in Arizona, and we have so much to be proud of and so much to look forward to. And that's what I get excited about for our state and for the sport.
Okay, so I look at things like I was the first play-by-play voice of the Mercury. Jerry Colangelo calls me and says, I want you to do the games. You've been with the Mercury. Let's just talk basketball and where it is. When you look at women's basketball, Jay, like I feel like somebody like me is on a different planet from where it is now because it's so accepted. I went out to Legacy Sports Park day before yesterday. They got 130 girls teams out there for the Nike Tournament of Champions. Xavier's out there with Jen Gillum, who played for the Mercury. She's got two girls that are 6'6". It's unbelievable how good they are. So just the girls' side of basketball, because you were involved with the Mercury too, and what you see.
Right, right. Well, it's amazing what's going on with women's basketball. And we look back to the early days that you were involved in, I was involved in. I had the good fortune of being drafted to work with the Phoenix Mercury in 2004, which was the same year Diana Taurasi was drafted. So yeah. I felt like I was in really good company, but it was even a special time in 2004, just learning so much from Diana, Penny Taylor. I mean, the list goes on. Cappy Pondexter, Tangela Smith. I mean, you know, such fond memories of all of them. Jen Gillum is such a pioneer. Annie Myers-Drysdale was our general manager. I mean, it was a really special time. And so many great memories from them. So many fantastic things they did in our community. And it has just escalated and grown since then. And as you said, it's much more accepted now. And at the same time, Brad, we still have more work to do.
No question. I mean, I still remember flying 3 wide on Southwest, and I've got Cheryl Miller to my left and Nancy Lieberman to my right.
I know.
And it was Southwest. And yeah. I pounded my fist about flying private and just creating more accepted. We saw a couple of years ago where the NCAA and the women's team didn't have the proper weight set up. And the men's did, and that was a huge, huge deal. And now that's not the case. You have Caitlin Clark out there showing that she can go get endorsements just like the guys. And I think for a day like today, Jay, you just kind of look at that side of it, or you look at the youth side and how much that's grown, the club. The pros, the NBA is the NBA. It's the biggest deal in that space. To me, I'm still a Final Four NCAA person because I can look at U of A. I can look at Bobby and what he's trying to do at ASU. I can look at Grand Canyon and flat out say they could be this year's FAU. They could be this year's San Diego State. I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is, I mean, that's what's so great about the sport. And that's what's so great about March Madness, right? Anything can happen in March Madness. And so we have the privilege of hosting, the epic Final Four here in Phoenix, and in Arizona, just 107 days away, which is going to fly by. Sure. But we love the idea of what it does to really galvanize our community, right? Unify. It's one of the most, you know, it's the biggest and most beloved event in basketball is what we believe. So the fact that we get to host it, it's exciting.
Yeah, it's easily my favorite event. When I've done this for years, I tell people there's nothing like, you can go to Super Bowls. I just went through a World Series. They're all fine. They're fine. Nothing compares or comes close to a Final Four. And I think on the women's side, because we do look ahead, the women's Final Four is coming here too. Mm-hmm. And keeping this momentum going with the Final Four, how does that work in your role as we're sitting here 107 days out? You're going to put on a great show. The committee's going to put on a great show. But then you're going to say, well, what about 2028 or 2030? How do you go about that now, Jay?
Right. So that's a great point. So we hosted for the first time the men's Final Four in 2017, and it was such a success. And the NCAA was so happy with it. The group in Arizona quickly put in a bid to host again in 2024. So not that many years later. And so now the opportunity we have before us is we host the men's Final Four next April. We host the WNBA All-Star next July, 2024. Then we look forward to the women's Final Four in 2026. And so we as a community, our business leaders, our tourism leaders, our elected officials, our Native American leaders, they are all on board and working with us as a team to figure out how do we keep Arizona in this global spotlight with all of these incredible major events. And so we are working closely with the Phoenix Mercury and the Phoenix Suns and all those other entities to, just as you said, make sure we keep the momentum up, because it's great global visibility for Arizona, but it's also incredibly exciting for our locals, right? We want to make sure our residents feel like these are community events. And that's what basketball does such a great job of.
Yeah, no offense to the NFL, but I know most people are here excited about Super Bowls. They rent out their houses. They get out of town because they can make big money. They don't do that with a Final Four. And this is something that stays here, both, I think, on the men's side and on the women's side. The growth of women's basketball, I coach my daughters, so I'm an advocate for it. Did the Mercury play-by-play, was part of the Suns organization in their pre and post for years with Jerry. So I get everything you're saying, and I am what I call a hoopaholic. Some people don't like that term. It's my term. Yell at me all you want. I'm just into it. Before I get you out of here, so if you're looking at this year's event, and people are just now, you know, people, they're everywhere. They're looking everywhere. But they may be saying, okay, I want to get plugged in. I want to get involved. They may need a volunteer here, or there may be at a community event over there. Is all that stuff buttoned up, or do you still need community volunteers? Kind of like the Fiesta Bowl, the Thunderbird, all that stuff. What do you think?
So our planning efforts are going really well and coming together very nicely. What I would suggest is for folks to go to phoenixfinal4.com. because that's where all the events are. That's where the volunteer opportunities are. We are looking for more people to be involved. Or they can follow us on social media, MFinal4. And that, again, is where all that current information is. In the middle of January, Brad, on January 17th, we're going to unveil a lot of the key events that are coming up. So that's going to be a big day for us to get people excited coming out of the holidays. As you just said, you know, kind of people are going to be coming out of their holiday slumber, and we're going to be ready to just let them know what's coming up with the Final Four, because there are going to be so many great events, such a community orientation. And there's going to be a lot to be excited about. Plus, when you look at, right, as you said, Arizona, GCU, you know, we've got some really good teams in our state right now. We've got some great underdogs in ASU and NAU. And so we would love to just see that, you know, excitement really, you know, come to fruition January through next April.
And last, just a little quick note on that. I wake up last second week of March and NAU's in the Big Sky Championship game. And I tell my wife, I'm going to Boise today. They hadn't been to the tournament in 20 years, and it's just a story. And yeah, I'm the only media guy that even bothered to show up, and they lost, but you don't even know about NAU, to your point. That's the beauty of March, is the FAUs and the San Diego States from last year. And I think you guys are doing a great job. I'm excited, obviously, any way that we can help. And you're doing great work, Jay. I appreciate you coming on for a couple of minutes.
Well, we appreciate your support, Brad, and we love your love of basketball. So let's get ready for the next 107 days. It's going to be amazing.
CEO of Phoenix Local Organizing Committee, Jay Perry, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, Mark Beasley, one of my favorite people on the planet, is with us, and there's not many of them. No, I'm just kidding. Mark's great because Mark truly cares about, well, everything that he does in the Valley. He does refereeing. We've had Mark on in the past to chop it up on Hoop Talk. He puts on the Visit Mesa. He has Monarch Sports. He does a lot of things in the basketball space, and with it being the holiday season, next week, after you're done opening your packages, you have to find your way out to three high schools in Mesa. I want to have Mark on to talk about that, because Visit Mesa used to be, I'd see Mark and then Steve Hogan, and there'd be like one gym at Mountain View, and there'd be like eight teams. Now it's blown up into this thing. So happy holidays. Good seeing you.
Happy holidays, Brad, to you and your audience.
That's good. And let's just start with Visit Mesa. So, Mark, and I'm being really granular here because there's audience that has no idea what the Visit Mesa is. The hoop crowd in town through the years does know, but we've grown. So this is one of those destination tournaments that you want to hit when the season is done of opening packages. So just walk us through Visit Mesa.
I feel that is absolutely true, and thanks for that support. You've always been a supporter of the event. So year 16, like you mentioned, started at one gym at Mountain View, and now it's expanded to Westwood and to Red Mountain. So now we're up to, this year we're up to 33 teams and 15 out of state, 18 in state. And as I've always said, it's a labor of love. It's a love for high school basketball here in the state. It's an opportunity to be an ambassador for high school hoops here in the state and to allow others from across the country to visit, literally, Mesa. And Visit Mesa being the presenting sponsor, Mark Garcia and Lance Fight have been so gracious in terms of supporting the event. And it's really about bringing people to Mesa and letting them see, obviously, good basketball, experience great weather, and check out all the cool things that we have in Mesa in regards to downtown, other parts of the city regarding hospitality. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. But yeah, you're right. We throw the ball up for the first time on the 27th, and we go for 4 days.
So here's the thing on this tournament. This is not just a bunch of schools being cobbled together, and there's nothing wrong with that. This is very strategic. Mark, because of his job of being a referee at the collegiate level, knows where in cities, who those programs or what programs would be interested in coming here. So this, as he said, 16 years. If you were to put together a top five players that have ever rolled through the...
Wow.
Now, as I have not prepped on this, okay? So I'm just throwing this at you. So back in the day, when Mountain View was really rolling, okay, Harper Camp was a big-time player. Mountain View would have guys, Bagley and Barcelo over at Corona, along with all those other guys. I know I'm leaving people out. But you're going to Sokoa Pete, obviously, and Cody Williams last year just tearing rims down and having players run away scared, it looked to me like. But, you know, if you're putting together a top five, Mark, who's in that group?
I'm gonna be diplomatic, Brad. You're either going to love me or you're going to hate
me.
Come on! And because we haven't prepped for this, I do feel that I would leave people out. And a perfect example is – you know, I spoke to Matt Carlino, who was in the first one, the first event we had when he played at Highland. Yep. He's now a coach in San Diego, and I'm talking with him about bringing his team to Visit Mesa. But obviously you have, you have Bagley, you have the Williams boys. I mean, not only Cody, but you have Jalen.
Jalen, yeah. You know,
played when he was at Perry. Yeah. You have so many players that have made a mark at their high schools, specifically, have made a mark in college, and now we have some that are in the pros, obviously with Jalen, and then you have a generational talent like Koa Pete, you know, who's bringing a lot of attention to the state. You have so many players that they represent their school really, really well. And that's what we really look to do at Visit Mesa. The leadership team is, as you said, very strategic in terms of bringing the right teams in, the right players, the right coaches, the right programs. You know, there are certain programs we don't go after because they may ask for too much in terms of a travel package. Yeah. But, they bring high school basketball at its finest, and that's what Visit Mesa has always been about. And that's what we're always going to lean on in terms of when we invite in-state as well as out-of-state teams.
Okay, so people watching this are saying, where do I get information? So I'm going to go deeper with you, but give a plug to website and days and all that.
Well, I mean, the easiest thing right off the bat would be on social. You could go to Visit Mesa BB, and that's on Twitter/X. You can also go to Monarch Sports AZ, and all the information, all the sites, the game time schedules, participants. I mean, everything is listed there. We have key people that are very, very good at that in terms of getting the information out on social. And it's all real time. We have real time scoring. We have box scores for every game. I think you really get a deep dive into the event, but game operation wise, I want it to be fan friendly. I want people to be able to navigate the site really well and easily so they can get information so they can make that decision. Hey, I want to go out and I want to see this team. I want to go see this player.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of, and what's really cool too, is we have a couple of private schools that are coming, and they have, through their development team and their people at their schools in other states, they have alumni that live here in the state. And so they plan to come in. And that's the cool thing about it, because obviously Phoenix and Mesa is, you know, has great weather in December. People have relocated after going to school out of state. Now they live here. And so it's kind of cool for those alums to reconnect with their schools from back in the day.
This is a homey feel too, for which I like, because this is no shot, because it's two different stratospheres, but if you're expecting to go to a club tournament, that's not this, nor has it ever been, nor will it ever be. This is about truly your high school. And there's college coaches that will bop in. There are players that played back in the day that I'll walk in, because I always make a point to get there at least once, if not twice. And there's people that you walk in, you're like, oh, this is what you're doing now. And I'm not going to throw any names around, but these are former pro athletes in other sports even that are sitting there in the stands. And it's one of those, you cannot miss it. And if you're watching this as a parent and your kids are in sixth, seventh, eighth grade, and you're looking at a program, you might want to ask them, do you guys play in the Visit Mesa? You might want to ask them that. Doesn't mean it's for everybody, because it is high-end, high caliber, but this is truly about high school basketball and the experience of it.
I think that's a great point. You and I both understand the benefits of high school basketball, the traditional high school basketball experience. And Visit Mesa follows that to a T. We were approached about a couple of years ago about moving the event to another facility that had multiple courts under one roof that you would think logistically may be beneficial to the event. We checked it out. We did a deep dive into the benefits of that, and we chose not to do it because we wanted the traditional high school experience of one gymnasium. Now we've expanded to three. And that's the thing. I think you said it perfectly. If you're a parent and you're looking for something to do during the holiday break, you're looking for maybe that next step in terms of where your son may go to school. And you want to check out the program and check out the style of play and the coach. I mean, I think at all three gyms, we have such high level basketball that I think it's a perfect opportunity to do that. And at the very, very least, you know, make a connection with some players. And you never know. It could be a former pro basketball player that you're seeing. There could be a college coach in the stands. You can make a connection that way. But yeah, definitely open invite to everyone to come out and check out the games at all three sites.
In all three sites, we're talking about Red Mountain, Mesa Mountain View, and over at Westwood. You'll see Mark at Mountain View, and he'll bounce to the other two gyms as well. And you'll see a sign that says Monarch Sports. That is your company too, that you do, along with refereeing. You cannot speak directly about refereeing, but... However, and we should mention shot clock, three referees.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's something that the Visit Mesa did 6 years ago. The AIA, I think, successfully adopted it and immersed it into the high school game here in Arizona last year. They're in year two. We're in year six of doing the shot clock, because we felt there was benefit to doing so. The AIA was gracious enough to allow us to do that. We do 16-minute halves. Two 16-minute halves, which is another cool wrinkle, keeps games on time, because depending on which site you go to, there's multiple games. They still get their same allotment of timeouts. We don't change the rules or anything, but these holiday tournaments, they allow us to add different wrinkles, just add a bit of excitement. And then, of course, the three-person referees, you know, I'm an advocate for that. I think that adds to the event, because the play is so good, Brad, and the players are so fast, and they get up above the rim. And sometimes you might miss things with a two-person crew. So having three people there, three officials, I think it adds to the event that makes it the premier holiday event in Arizona.
Let me go back to the however. So Mark, the other day when he and I chopped it up a little bit about coming on, and because I want to talk about the tournament, you did a game the night before in Yuma. And you do one basketball. Do you still do high school?
I don't. I do Division I, NAIA, junior college.
That's great.
That's the level. Yeah, thank you. That's the level that I'm doing now. Obviously, I started working doing youth sports and then going up to church ball here in the East Valley and then doing high school, which I had a great run with my partners, Danny Carrizosa, Robert Boyd back in the day. I think, Brad, my success at the high school level being an official obviously helped me with doing college basketball. But it really helped me in terms of connecting with high school coaches in the area as well as athletic directors, because there needs to be a level of trust when you play in a holiday tournament, in any type of tournament, or it could be a one-off, it could be a doubleheader. You need to have a level of trust. And I think the leadership at the high schools here in the state understand that I'm not someone who's going to pinch pennies or do things that's going to mess up the environment or the experience for the high school athlete. And I think that with Monarch Sports and my other events, in addition to the Visit Mesa, I think everybody sees that if it's a Mark Beasley event, that it's going to be pretty well run.
He's understating it, by the way. The only down Beasley events is there's just riffraff like me that show up. And, but it is a basketball community. This really is one of those events of people that love hoop. And you may be watching this saying, well, I don't have any kids. I'm retired. Or I just, my kids weren't interested in basketball, but I love hoop. Mark, somebody you need to know, because there's places you can get plugged in, working a concession stand or, doing things that help make a tournament run. These kids from out of state, when they come into town, they don't just go play hoop. There's other things that they are able to go do as a team, right? Talk about that side of it.
Absolutely. And I'll give you a perfect example. Ron Riley is the coach at Durango High School in Vegas. And Ron, for those old school ASU basketball fans, played at ASU. And, played under Bill Frieder, and now he's coaching for the first year at Durango. And he's bringing his team down, and we've talked since probably April about his team coming down. And he wants to do many things while he's here. He wants to go on ASU's campus. He wants to go see the practice facility. Hopefully he can get into Wells Fargo. I think ASU basketball is out of town that week, but he wants to show his kids and kind of give them a goal, if you will, and encourage them that, hey, you can go to college and play basketball. But he also wants to do a service project, Brad. He wants to let his kids know that, they are here for basketball for 4 days, but they're also here to immerse themselves into the community and to give back. And I think that speaks well to Ron. He and I, again, have a great relationship in terms of him coming to the event. But him pouring out his heart saying, hey, I want to get my kids connected to the community, that just shows how what a mentor he is for his athletes. And so we're trying to get him plugged into a service project while he's here next week.
That's cool. One other thing. I'm going to go back to officiating one last time for you. Do you find it to be more adversarial, confrontational, anger towards referees than ever?
I would answer yes. And it's not, I'm sorry. I would say yes. And I don't know if it's because of parents or social, but it's definitely much more adversarial than in the past. And I don't know what it's going to take to maybe change that. Maybe it's going to be, maybe it's going to be some education. I like to do things where I go out at the beginning of the year and I speak to kids about officials and the dynamics between officials and players and coaches. And so I don't want to say it's sad, but it's definitely disappointing when I sit and I'm with my son and we're watching a game And yet there's just vitriol coming from the stands in regards to parents. And then there's coaches that take it to the, take it to a certain level. I know everybody's competitive, but obviously officials have a job to do. And as I always say, I don't shadow you into your office as an insurance agent and tell you how to do your job in regards to, you know, setting rates and making decisions as an insurance agent. So I don't really understand the idea of the common fan coming and telling officials what they need to do and what they're doing wrong and all that type of stuff. Now, some people might say, Mark, that's sports, and you get what you sign up for. And I get it 100%. But I think it takes it to a certain level where it's a little bit unnecessary, disappointing, uncomfortable, dangerous, and unsettling. And just know this, as an adult, if you're yelling, banging, screaming at the referees, there's kids in the stands, and kids are going to model the behavior of adults because they make the assumption that adults know best. And this is setting the table for years and years and generations of kids who are going to think to themselves, oh, it's okay that we can yell at these guys in stripes for what's happening in a game. So it's disappointing.
Well, I think our industry is to blame. There are announcers that are just completely juvenile about every call and whine and complain. There's that. There is replay that is now there that points out, well, they missed call.
Great point.
So there's technology, and then there's just announcers who are not being held to a standard by the universities that employ them or the networks that employ them. And they say things on the air that are childish and immature and just kind of exacerbate the situation. So the messaging from our industry blows, to be honest with you. I hear too much of that. I think the technology side, I'm just curious on your end, will we get to a point in college and high school where it's across the board, there's replay?
College obviously is standard. That's already taking place. Not at every level. That's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point. Division I, obviously, because of the resources, the financials are in place where they can, you know, that can happen. Some Division II, we don't have any that I work, so I would not know about that. At the high school level, I think it won't happen. I think it's very expensive to have replay equipment and monitors courtside. I do feel that down the road, I think you'll have something at like state championship games. I think some states do have that, where they have replay at state championship games, because stakes are way too high. And we've seen in our state, we've had some at some state tournament games, we've had some last second shots and some things take place where a replay or a monitor would have helped. But that comes with, as you know, that comes with money, and that comes with somebody paying a certain amount to have a monitor at courtside, to have cameras around the arena, to have a replay official next to that monitor, and then there needs to be a whole process. I mean, I think that's going to happen down the road. I have no idea in terms of that timeline, but you're right. I think monitors and replay are an expected part of basketball now, and that's maybe it brings that vitriol to the game, because people, they tape and then they on their phones and they see it and then they clip it and then they post it and they go, see, this is the call that Mark missed, or this is the call that Brad missed. And, as officials, especially at a high school level, you're just trying to get it right. And there is no fallback. There is no monitor. So they have to obviously in real time make that decision. I always invite people, if they're interested in officiating, because it seems like at games they are, to come and join, because there is there's not enough high school referees now, not just in Arizona, but across the state. But if you can, if you have an interest, because obviously some people are showing interest at the games by being involved with officiating from the stands. If there's an interest, definitely contact the AIA or any state high school association and sign up to be a referee. I mean, not only is it good cardio, you get paid, and you're giving back to your community, and you're being connected to high school basketball, which is awesome. It's awesome here in Arizona.
Yeah, no, that's well put. I appreciate chopping it up with you. Why don't you give the information one more time for Visit Mesa and the basketball event, and that people can go to and get all the stuff.
Yeah, 16th annual, again, at three sites, Red Mountain, Westwood, and Mountain View High Schools here in Mesa. 33 teams, 18 in-state, 15 out-of-state. At Monarch Sports AZ on social, as well as at Visit Mesa BB. The Visit Mesa website also has a link for the schedules and all the information. So invite everybody to come out December 27th through the 30th, all day. I mean, at Mountain View, first game's at 10, last game's at 8:30. At Red Mountain and Westwood, first game's at 1:30, and last game's at 6. So come on out, watch some good high school basketball.
That's Mark Beasley, and we're back with more after this timeout.